Yes, 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 people. So we have a special edition of Echo Chamber for you today, right? Man, and it's a big one, right? We are looking at the new film, a new short film, and we've got the creative crew coming on. So, you know, returning. Hey, we've got a returning guest. You know what I mean? It's, yeah, it's live, people. It's live. So you do not want... I laugh so hard. Oh, my days. I laugh so hard on this one. So, people, sit back and let's go. Yo, so now we are taking a look at the new feature film, Before Nikah. Okay, people, so let us take a look at Before Nikita. Wait, hold on. Did I just say that right? Yeah, I feel that's, how you say it? Before Nikita? I think so. I think that is the pronoun. I butcher things so much, people, but god damn it, I'm gonna say Before Nikita, right? So this is the new film from Hadir Zafar, written by Echo Chamber favorite Marcus Flemings. The film is produced by Marcus and Hadir. Gabby Ambler took care of the music. Hadir also handles cinematography. Right. William Long edits the piece. Andrew Davies is down with the casting. Production design is from Catherine Zafir. Catherine also does costume design. Hair and makeup, we have Sarah Coulthard. Who else? Visual effects were handled by Mukul Nal. And our cast. So, Sarah is played by Sasha Vadhar. Is played by Akash Sukal. We've got Riz. Played by Aziz Kemal. Hannah, played by Sally Ann. And Izzy's aunt, grandma, is played by Kanshan Raval. The gist of the film is... Sarah and Izam are fated to meet in advance of a possible marriage they don't want and end up having to spend the day together to kill time. So that is the whole gist of the film, right? Now, I didn't know this, but Nikita is a... hold on, I've got the actual definition here. So, in Islam, Nikah refers to a marriage contract and ceremony. It's the central religious ceremony where the couple officially consents to marry, usually led by an imam, and involves signing a contract outlining their agreements. While it's a valid marriage ceremony within Islam, it's not recognized as legally binding in the UK unless a separate civil marriage is conducted. But yeah, that's part of the title, which is interesting, right? Now, as mentioned, Marcus, man, we've spoken to Marcus on the pod many a time, right? Covered Blonde Purple, excellent film, people. Go watch that if you haven't already. So, you know, it's always an interesting one when you're looking at things your friends do. You know what I mean? And me and Mark, we talked about Richard Linklater's Before trilogy so many times, right? So finding out that, you know, he's written this film that is kind of inspired by, right? You're like, oh, okay, I want to see it, but how is it going to be? You know, like Hadir has worked with Marcus many times. He was a cinematographer on Blonde Purple and all of Marcus's other films. So they've got a chemistry together. Right now, this film, right? It's different because we've got a Pakistani couple, you know, and so we have a lead into the film. You've got Sarah with her roommate Hannah, and we've got Iz with his grandma, and you know, they're both, you know, it's the lead up to the meeting. So we have all of this, and then they meet at London Euston train station, and we see them navigate this date. Now, you know, I think in other places, it's definitely, what's the word? People are making those comparisons with, you know, Before Sunrise. I think it is, sorry, people, I think it's distinctly different, right? And I love that. I love that it was different and didn't necessarily try to follow verbatim the beats of that film. This was its own animal, right? We have, you know, Seren is me. And I think when you look at Before Sunrise, right, their initial meeting on the train, right, it's, he's come to kind of help her out. And, you know, there's a kind of a chemistry, a vibe straight away between them here. There's not necessarily a vibe straight away. You know, and you feel that, right? You feel that between the actors. You feel that in the writing, the way they're communicating with each other. And it makes sense, you know what I mean? But as the film goes on, you do notice barriers breaking down, right? And the other thing is, when you know what I mean? When you don't know someone, there is that uncomfortability about it oftentimes, right? And even if you get into the flow of conversation, there are times when, you know what I mean? Because you don't know that person, you might touch on a subject that's very sensitive to them. You might crack a joke, but, oh, that's not necessarily their sense of humor, right? There's gonna be those peaks and troughs, you know? And I think in a lot of films, as like we have a couple and they meet, right? And once it's kind of as if, because, you know, we always have that thing where they hate each other and then they meet later and now they're best friends, you know what I mean? Like, we do that foolishness. But, yeah, once they've established the, oh, we might like each other kind of thing, everything kind of goes without missteps. So watching something that feels like more realistic, you know, that is always a good thing. That is always refreshing, you know. And I think it's especially interesting when you're seeing different people, you know what I mean? It's not just the norm, right? We've got a Pakistani couple on screen, so it's different. And that's great. You know, different references, different things, but it's all the same. You know what I mean? Because it's them talking, forging connections, right? Whether it's talking about film, whether it's talking about dance, you know? It's all things people can relate to. And also, it, like, the things that they're talking about, right? Like, at the start, it's that, so, you know, ooh, what do you do, right? What's your favorite guy? Like, it's those questions that are just like, ah, oh, man, this is an interview, right? So we see that those questions aren't the ins to break down barriers for either of them. You know, they're getting over this, do we want to be here? Like, what's the intentions of this person? You know? So all of that is very palpable. You very much sense it. And that's great. I love that. I also really enjoyed the fact that, because, you know, like the Before trilogy, this film is very much on the shoulders of our two lead actors. You know, if they drop the ball, if they do not sell us on these different scenarios, then this film falls apart, right? You can have the best script, the best cinematography, the best direction, but without solid performances, we have no film. You know what I mean? So, it's, man, it's really great that both of our leads, right, both Sasha and Akash, really make you believe in Sarah and Iz. You know? Like, the flows of the conversation are great, because how many times are you talking to someone and you start something, but then it just veers somewhere else, right? So that initial thread is just left hanging, right? And sometimes you come back to it, other times it's just there, right? Now, you may call back to it later on, sometimes you do not, but it's all there, right? It's all there, which really helps in the believability of it. You know, like, yeah, some of these, you know, talking about foreign films, you know what I mean? Like, some people like subtitles, talking about, right, like, time travel, you know, these different things. It's all helping bring this to life, right? Just, there's a bit when Sarah's like, you know, she kind of is like, films makes it seem to Iz that films aren't her thing, but then later on she's talking about, you know, some different films that she's seen, right? And it just shows, it's like the assumptions that we make, because originally, like, in her initial statement, like, in the, earlier in the film, she doesn't actually say she hates films, she doesn't like watching films, right? But it's an assumption that Iz makes. And I think having those kind of things in here also, right, help resonate the human condition to you as a viewer. You know, you don't want to watch something where these people seem so perfect, right, that there's no flaws, that the conversation is this perfectly flowing machine. You want to see these bumps in the road, these hiccups, these missteps. And that's what they show you, right? But then, as I said, as the film goes on, we do have these moments where you kind of think they are not necessarily, right, not necessarily falling in love, not necessarily, you know what I mean, becoming one, right? But they are becoming looser around each other, right? More comfortable. And I think that, right, being able to pull that subtlety, right, that nuance off, that's very skillful, right? And we do see that, right? Like in the cinema, which I don't know where that fucking cinema is. Right? I'm watching this film and anytime you see something in London or like, you know, in places that you know and you're in frequently, it's you're always kind of going, okay, what's the route here, right? I'm trying to figure out how, you know, the route they're taking and some of the places there are. In some places you're like, yeah, know that, done that, boom, boom. I do not know where that fucking cinema is, man. You know what I mean? But anyway, tangent. But yeah, the scene in the cinema is great. You know, I think that worked really well. And it also, I think, felt very, you know, natural. I hated the end of this film, right? I hated the end of this film. And when I say I hated the end of the film, man, I enjoyed the fuck out of the end of the film. But it was just like, God damn it, motherfuckers. You're doing this to me. You know what I mean? You are doing this to me. Really? Ah, because I feel the film ends in a way that definitely wants you wanting more. You know what I mean? Like, you want to know where these characters might go next, right? What's in store for everyone? You really, I mean, there's so many possibilities, you know? So that's great. But it's not a given. Now, I will say, there is something to facial expression. Like, facial expressions are key throughout this film, right? I think they're a big part because it really tells you a lot about the emotional impact for these characters. So there is something in the end, but yeah, I don't know, right? It's still, you know what I mean, it could do anything. And I love the fact that sprinkled throughout the film are these different elements, right? Like, they're not always together. There are these other things, these other past happenings that are influencing what we see, what these characters do, which really, as that's what I say, it sets this film apart from Before Sunrise. And that is fantastic. People, man, it's very different to, you know, Marcus is writing in Blonde Purple and his other films, but it's very much Fleming's, right? Very much Fleming's. Like, Hadir does a great job, like, bringing us into, you know what I mean, this moment in time. Our actors are fantastic. I definitely would recommend you checking out Before Nakia. Yeah, we've got links on the website for you to be able to find out. You know, it's on all your favorite platforms. So people, bring this into your life, because it's charming as fuck, right? Before Nakia. Okay, people, so now, we have a fantastic conversation. Man, we have a fantastic conversation, people. We are joined by Hadir Zafar, who directs the film, I mean, he wears a few hats, right? He also handles the cinematography, helps out with the editing. We have writer of the film and return Echo Chamber favorite Marcus Flemings. And we've got the two leads. There is Sasha Vadeh, who plays Sarah, and Akash Sukal, who plays Izam. So yeah, we have a great old time. I butchered the name of the film. I found out I had been pronouncing it incorrectly. I think I butcher everyone's name as well, but everyone is super great. Yeah, we laughed so hard, people. Oh man, this was so much fun. So I'm gonna hand you over to Hadir, Marcus, Sasha, and oh, why is my freaking Akash? My mind just went completely blank. Yeah. So yeah, people, I hope doing it. Here you go. Here we go. Boom. Yo, people, today, this is a great one, right? We get to talk to director Hadir Zafar. We have got actors Akash Rakul, Sasha Vadeh, and the one and only Marcus Fleming back in the house to talk all things Before Nikita. People, thank you so much for your time. It's so good to see you all.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for having us, man. No, pleasure to be here.
No worries at all, man. I watched the film today and
well,
God damn it, I hated the end. I hated the end so much because you pieces of shit left me wanting so much more. I'm just like, you cannot leave me with this. What are you doing to me?
We're giving you part two.
Like, tremendous job.
was that an official announcement there?
Oh god.
I mean, I hope there will be more because it was so interesting. I really enjoyed it. I really did. And I, Marcus, we talked about Linklater's Before trilogy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Love those films, right? So having this, it was interesting because, you know, and I've seen people, you know, say it's, you know, a similar thing too, but I feel it's its own thing. I feel it's its own thing because the beats and the flows of the film are very different in the relationship between, you know, I mean, Hawk and Delphi, the way they navigate that day, time, you know, I mean, that period together is very different from Iz and Sara. And I love that. You know? Yeah. So how did all of this come together? I guess, Marcus, we'll start with you as you
wrote. Sure. I think first and foremost, it's quite surprising that none of the actors and director corrected your pronunciation of the film.
I was hoping they were going to jump in
and help you out, but they didn't help you out. They left you hanging. And now, and if I didn't say anything,
it's too late. It's too late now.
Everyone would have. Everyone would have thought the film was called Before Nikis and stuff like that. So I'll let them correct themselves when they speak.
Kevin, but I hope you've got a good relationship with Marcus because this guy's on you today. You're being so kind, and he's coming in thick and fast. He's like
pause.
He's like Michael B. Jordan in Sinners. We were like, hey man, creatives,
Kevin, that wasn't me having a go at you. That was me having a go at them because they should have corrected you. You know what I mean? But anyway,
we're too
good. This was an idea that came from the mind of Hadir Zafar. And he came up with it about 10 years ago, maybe longer than that, about 12 years ago. And we've been stewing on it for a few years. And then finally we got around to actually finally making it, which is incredible. And yeah, it's all from Hader's mind. So I'm going to let him tell you how he thought of it and where it came from.
Kevin, honestly, okay. It wasn't too thought out, in the sense that there was a concept of a guy and a girl meeting at Euston Station, and initially I had the girl coming to Euston and the guy was waiting for her, but we sort of switched that around, made more sense in this narrative, and they just spend the day together, and that was the seed of the idea. And then Marcus and I sat down over dinner one evening and probably spent several hours. It was quite some time that we always talk film, and we were supposed to have a couple of friends joining us, and for whatever reason they weren't able to make it. Let's just say it was loose overhead cables for the trains, and that sort of was brought into the narrative. Because it was funny, it was a great idea, you know. Trains cancellations or sort of breaking down in this country is a fun one. We sat that evening, had a chat, and then Marcus went away for 48 hours, and he sent me the first draft, which was pretty close to the final draft as well. And that's how that came about. And then 2 weeks later, casting and shooting within 3 weeks. No idea how it happened. Honestly,
yo, that's really quick.
it's different. It's different. Yeah. Yeah, it's different.
From sitting on an idea for years to then suddenly like going full throttle on it. That's like kind of crazy.
It was stupid, yeah. I mean, the good thing is that Hader had just shot with Sasha, because I knew Sasha from before. So they had worked on a little project that Hader was working on. So it was almost like, as we had the conversation about the film, we were like, okay, Sasha can play that role. So as soon as we finished the dinner, I messaged her straight away. I was like, do you want to be in a film? And she was like, yes. It's like midnight as well. She was like, yes, without even knowing what it's about. And then she read it and she's like, no, I don't.
What? I don't remember this. I didn't. Pay me more.
But yeah, I mean, it was an initial idea. Was a girl in her job, and the dude wasn't obviously in her job. It was a girl in her job, and they were meant to meet at a train station. But yeah, I think we both reworked it that night. But then, as I started writing it, I was watching the Before trilogy as well, as I was writing it as well, just to kind of get into the flow of the conversations.
Yeah.
So it is different. It is very different. But obviously the concept itself is very much the same.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see the kernels of, you know what I mean, the idea there. But then the way you move from it, I think, is very refreshing. You know, you don't try and beat for beat play along. You know what I mean? You do your own thing, which is great, you know? Like,
thank you.
What was the thing that had you sit on this for so long, though? Right? Why was now the time to make the film, guys?
I think 10 years ago, Sasha would have been too young to play the character. So I think it would have been awkward.
You sound like you groomed her.
She wasn't ready for the
really glad you didn't make it.
You could have definitely paid me less if you booked me 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh my god. No, honestly, you know, timing, and you can't plan these things. I just couldn't imagine this film sort of coming about in any other way than it did. And one of the things that I've seen when Marcus and I collaborate is we might even have other ideas, and that they may just percolate, they may not come to fruition. But when the script is there and it makes sense and it's attainable, on a modest budget or even like a no budget sort of situation, we then start working out what do we need and how can we make it, and then we'll just go and give it a go. Marcus is relentless. We just filmed another movie within the last couple of months, and I think he edited it within like 2 hours or something. It was relentless. Like, the film's 2 hours long and he edited it in 2 hours. I don't know how, like, real-time editing. It's amazing.
We think Marcus is AI. There's a lot of
confusion. He is AI. He's not there right now.
Yeah. He does not stop.
Seen some of the things that comes out of his mouth, to be fair.
But the crazy thing was, I remember talking to Marcus and he's been like, yeah, I'm gonna take a little break. I'm not gonna direct or do anything. And then it's just like, I just see two films. We're like, yeah, 2024 went a bit crazy. And it's just like, yo, what the fuck's going on?
He had a break in 24. He had a break.
I did. I had a massive break.
To actually make films. But then, yeah, just he's back.
Yeah, I am. But no, I'm sure I'll take another break soon and then make another two films. But yeah, it was, I think what Hayden said is exactly right. Like, sometimes an idea is just not in the right place at the right time. And we weren't good enough to make that film 10 years ago. And we didn't have a script. And we didn't have, it was just an idea. And we didn't have, like, where the idea ended, where it began. And I think at that stage, when we wrote the script, we were way more confident, way more experienced. Just the things were in place. Like, for example, Sasha knew Akash at that time. And then I knew Akash from 10 years ago, and he was now an actor. He wasn't an actor 10 years ago. So everything was kind of just in the right place to make it work.
Timing, 100%.
Right. Okay. Awesome. Akash, like, when you first saw the script, like, what were your initial views on that?
Oh, I mean, super interesting. The initial script that came my way for the audition was the one where he's mentioning, I don't want to give too many spoilers, but yields of babies and the amount of people he might have to want to have sex with to get those babies and things like that. So I was like, this is an interesting one. I don't think I've really seen anything like this before. But no, it just seemed really fun. And yeah, he seemed like a really passionate character of questionable things, but passionate about what he's talking about. And yeah, it just seemed like a lot of fun. And I wanted to see where it would go. And then when we found out, obviously, like, it was going to be me and Sasha, we just knew we were going to have fun with it and mess around with each other. So yeah, I loved it.
He actually had some notes. Yeah. He had some notes for us. He had some extreme notes for us. Yeah, we did a reading. We done two readings. The first reading, he just got the job, so he didn't say much. But then when two readings into it, he had a lot to say about a few things. Yeah, which actually helped the film. In fairness, it actually helped the film. But yeah,
I think he's writing the sequel. I think.
Yeah. Listen, we had a great up until 4 a.m. session. Essentially,
oh my god,
yeah,
it
was amazing.
Yeah, it was. It actually was.
But no, back to the original script with the stuff he's saying that I was giving notes about, it was just that I think originally Isam was a little bit less likable. And I just thought, if you're going to spend an hour and a half getting to know just these two, there's not like any action, there's nothing else going on, it's just them two speaking. If you just really dislike one of those people, it's just going to be like, why is Sara like even putting up with this nonsense? Which, to be fair, there probably are times where Isam is like that anyway, but you do wouldn't want it for the entire hour and a half. So that was kind of, yeah.
Facts. It was very valid. Very valid. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that makes sense.
He had to save the cat at some point.
Yeah.
Also, can I just say, props to you for having watched the film and watched us talk for an hour and a half and be like, "Hey, I want to now speak to these people."
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Even I wouldn't want to speak to like.
It is quite dialogue heavy.
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think it's really interesting, like the nuance of the film, because, you know, you can have a great script, you can have great direction, cinematography, but without your performances, we don't have a film, right? We don't have anything pulling people and keeping them captivated. And the chemistry between you two is very interesting, because at the beginning, you buy it's these two people, it's this awkward kind of fit, like they don't know each other. And then we get that whole kind of, there's still these barriers up. But as the day goes on, we can see the changes. You know what I mean? And I think it's just in these subtle little nuances throughout that we see these things. And I think that is really that keeps you wanting more, keeps you watching, keeps you captivated and just enjoying this experience. So it was just like, yeah, tremendous, man. So like any time to be able to talk to people putting this kind of thing together, you're going to jump at that, you know what I mean?
No, I really appreciate that, man. I think, but it's also, I've said to the team as well, like I've actually liked the film more on rewatches. Because now you've seen that journey of like them having those walls up and then you start to break it down. When you go back and see it again, you get like a different viewpoint of the whole thing. And you're like, oh, like I know this is, they're going to break this down. I can see where they want to try and come in and they're trying to do something. It's not quite working the other person. So yeah, I love that personally, which is also why I'm saying the sequel needs to happen. But you know, just saying.
So, like, how did you, like, you know, obviously in the first, you know, draft, there's the hijab and so the difference is, so what was your kind of journey with this character?
Sorry, I just missed the last thing you said.
What was your journey?
Oh, I just like, what was your kind of, yeah, how did you find the changes in the script and, you know, being able to vibe with the character?
Yes. So first, when I got the script, my initial impression was, wow, this is a lot of dialogue and a lot of concepts I'm going to have to familiarize myself with. So, and as we've learned, Marcus does not waste time. So he wanted an answer very quickly if I wanted to be on board. So I just kind of agreed to it, but I did have my work cut out for me, definitely. And I think I did really enjoy the character. I think there's a lot of similarities and a lot of differences that I have with the character. So it was interesting to navigate that. I feel like we're similar in the sense that my character is very outspoken and she doesn't really allow Issam to kind of get away with anything. But then we obviously do have differences. Like any man that's dated me would know he would not be able to get away with such a cheap date. Walking around would never happen.
I'm sorry, did you say that you aren't outspoken?
No, that's a similarity.
Okay, fine.
So there was a bit of both, but overall, I really enjoyed playing the character.
Oh, God. I mean, she's the one walking him around, is she not?
Yes. I would say this is my difference with the character.
Okay, you wouldn't walk him around, you would just sit him down. What a shit job.
Every now and then they did sit down for a little bite to eat.
They did.
Little park bench conversation. There's a lot of walking around London.
So much walking.
Yeah, and one, I think, steps in.
20K steps.
Yeah. I think the character, because I knew Sasha from before, I definitely tailored the character to Sasha's personality quirks, and a lot of dialogue is kind of what she would say or assume she would say. And I think when Akash got the role, he definitely started to implant some of his own words and his own feelings into the character as well. So, and of course, they knew each other from before as well. That's how that chemistry is so strong.
Mm. Yeah. Had you guys seen the Before trilogy? Like, before jumping into this film?
I can answer that one.
Yes, you please, Halo, you answer that one.
Yeah. So somebody provided the Criterion Blu-ray for somebody else to watch the trilogy.
Two people.
And that Blu-ray, I think, came back to me maybe the last couple of weeks, maybe even month. So.
And it was clean. It wasn't touched. There was no finger marks on it.
Untouched. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Like pristine, crisp, like just a little bit of dust, little bit of dust on it. So no is the answer. They hadn't. And honestly, Kevin, the God's honest truth is that I actually think they did the right thing. And I say that because had they watched it, they just might have become something that was not congruent to either the character or to themselves. And yeah, I actually think they did the right thing, but I don't know.
That wasn't by choice, though, was it? They didn't do the right thing.
It wasn't by choice. Sliding heels moment.
Just lazy.
Yeah.
For me, it was by choice. I did watch the first one, but I watched it after we finished filming on purpose.
When we finished filming.
Yeah, because I was like, listen, man, I don't want to try and be an imitation of Ethan Hawke.
Fair play.
What's Sasha's excuse?
So for me, that's why I pretend to freeze. Did that work?
Yeah. No, you moved a little bit.
It was a creative decision for me. I just really wanted to bring my own interpretation without it being an imitation of another piece of work.
Love it. Akasha said that.
Oh, no, okay. I've got nothing.
How can I make this like...
She is so media trained. It's unbelievable. So media trained, honestly. But thanks for the Blu-ray back. I think Sasha didn't also have a Blu-ray player, so...
That is true. We are in 2025. Does anyone have a Blu-ray player?
just some losers out there. Just some lovers of film, you know, all those film lovers out there.
There's people that you take, your job seriously and that, you know, Sash, it's fine.
Who have a care for their craft and love for the...
still talking about Blu-ray.
The Renaissance and the je ne sais quoi. Just swirling in it. Oh, my gosh.
We're fully taking this away from Kevin, honestly.
What have I done? Sorry, Kevin. Sorry. but the answer is no. They haven't seen the film.
I do think it was probably it's probably the best thing because you're not like trying to, ape a performance that you saw, right? You're bringing that fresh take. And I think that's what really sets the film out, right? That it's not trying to be a clone of it. It's this different thing with different energy. So I think that's a good thing, really.
They won by default. Yeah.
Don't you give a compliment, man? Damn.
Both of you. Both of you won by default. Both of you. Oh my god.
How did you get the locations for this? There's a lot of it is outside, but then you're in Euston Station. Right, you're filming in that cinema, which I wasn't quite sure where the hell that was. Like a lot of places, you'd be like, I know that. I'm like, where the hell is that cinema? So, how was it finding these locations and shooting?
The exteriors were, I would say, relatively easy. We had an idea in our mind, where would we like to film this scene outside somewhere? Oh, let's go to Primrose Hill. Wonderful. Or let's go to Old Street, Shoreditch, wherever we can find Victoria Park, et cetera, et cetera. And then for the interiors, I would say we had found a wonderful place in... Marcus found a cafe bar in High Barnet. And
We actually shot 1, 2, 3 scenes in one location. Four scenes, because we went back to it. So 4 scenes in one location, and the space had different areas, so we could get away with it being multiple places, and that worked out quite nicely.
Right.
The cinema was in Welwyn Garden City. It's Campus West, my local cinema, and they were kind enough to allow us to come and film there. That was really, really nice. And then Euston Station, we had to get permits and apply for filming there, which Marcus sorted out wonderfully. And we had, I can't remember if it was 3 hours or 4 hours to film all the Euston stuff, but it was relatively quick. But everything else was just cowboyed and winged. Yeah, anything exterior wise.
At a fun fair.
Oh God. Oh, okay. That was not winged, actually. Yeah. So again, that was, I don't know how Marcus pulled that one off. He somehow found that fireworks were taking place. I believe it was in Ruislip. There was a fun fair, and we just had permission to go right next to the fireworks and film that. And it added so much magic. It wasn't necessarily part of the script, but we incorporated it because it was something visually interesting that we could have given expanse to.
Mm. Yeah.
Really nice.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing about the way we shoot is we're pretty quick. And Hayder actually shot everything himself. So he was walking around London with his camera. So he's directing and shooting at the same time, which I don't know how he did that, but he did. So yeah, we got away with a lot of stuff because it was a very minimal crew. It was just myself, Hayder, a sound person, makeup artist who would just sit in her car. And
sorry, Sarah.
And just one other person, typically. So
we had
it just, sometimes it just looked like we were just shooting a YouTube video. So we got away with a lot. One time in King's Cross, we didn't get away with something. We nearly got arrested. But for the most part, we got away with a lot. And we've done the same thing.
Is a little bit heightened drama, arrested.
But
this guy's a writer.
You ruined it.
I love this guy.
I don't
want a record. Well, yeah, we were running from the
thankfully, yeah, thankfully I wasn't there at that moment, so if they did get arrested I would have been fine. But yeah, so but also Hayder shot with just Akash on a train. And that is wholly illegal. So if anyone wants to report them, go for it.
Just to let you know, I have the footage of the train. It was a train in Essex. We did get permission, and it was all done in VFX. So thank you.
That was legit.
That was not fucking legit.
It was so legit.
That's not legit at all.
This guy's tanking his own film production company.
Sabotage. Friendly chilling.
We are never going to raise finance for the next one.
Oh my god!
Yeah, these guys do all this illegal stuff. Someone's probably going to get arrested.
Kevin, honestly, the problem is that independent film is so difficult to make. You just got to turn up and do it.
Just got to do it, and then.
You know, what's it called? Repent later or something.
Yes. Very much so.
We've got a lot of repenting to do at the end of our lives. Especially if we keep making films the way we do. Just turned up to Morocco. You right, boys? How's it going? Yeah, let's get a camera up. Action. Oh, I love it.
Oh man. Like, how was it, Hadir, like directing and doing the cinematography?
I'll try and say this in the most diplomatic way possible, and I keep saying this and Marcus tries to correct me. So when it comes to the directing, yes, there was certain directing going on, but in all honesty, a lot of it was turning up to a location, putting up the camera, pressing record, and it was the performances that were doing the magic. I honestly do not remember too much directing. I just remember, this is the staging, this is what I'd like to do, and then we would just go for it. And then the massaging would happen, and if there was any massaging in the edit, but you may have noticed that a lot of the sequences have these long walk and talks, so we're not even cutting unnecessarily. We're just allowing them to do their magic. So a testament is to those two performing 10 to 15 pages of dialogue over the period of like 9 days or something. It was insane.
Yeah.
Oh, here he comes. Here he comes.
you know what? I'm gonna let Sasha and Akash verify if that's true or not. Is that true?
100%. Just say yes.
No, look, I mean, I think there's a lot of trust between the entire team. I think we did a rehearsal day beforehand, so where we did go through certain things. I think in that sort of rehearsal day, I think we probably would have nailed certain things of like, if we're really away from the kind of stuff that Heather or Marcus want the film to be like, then we would have kind of hit it there. After that, I think it was just the trust of, you know, you've got like a 2-3 minute scene where you guys are just talking nonstop. Is the right feel coming across? And I think this, the way that this film is, where it's just these two people getting to know each other, even if there is something that's slightly awkward or jilted or not quite working between them, it actually works for the entire film. So
yeah.
Honestly, Kevin, one of the things is, sorry, go on.
There was just one occasion where Marcus and Hayden just cut and sent me in a partial walk.
Hold on. That wasn't me. That what she said was, there was one moment where it was Hader. There she is. Where Hader said, we were about to shoot a scene, and it was in the cinema actually. And these two, I don't know what was going on between these two, but there was some friction. And Hader was like, just get away. He was angry, like, get away. Come back when you sort out your issues, and then we'll start.
He was diplomatic, not angry. Diplomatic.
He was diplomatically angry, and told him to sling a hook and sort their issues out, and come back and start shooting. Because honestly, they were awful that morning. They were terrible. They were absolutely awful.
You want to say something about this?
You know what? I think she actually has legitimately paused this time, because that's really impressive acting if she hasn't paused. Let me try and do that one.
Oh, you did it. You did it. Nice one. That's really good.
Well done.
Oh, gosh. Are you back? Are you back?
Yeah, she's back.
No, I'm actually in late coma.
Are you being serious?
You're in Lake Como, right?
Of course you are. Of course you are. This girl, man. Honestly.
Honestly, I don't know what to say.
Nice
right now.
Song.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It is. It is. Maybe Sachi can tell them where you've been over the past 6 weeks.
Yeah. All the places.
Vegas, yeah, Morocco, and now Lake Como.
I had to make up for it after
that
day.
My God. That was 3 years ago.
Here I am in the Midlands. So, you know. Wolverhampton.
Yeah, so Sasha, what happened on that day of the cinema when you were politely asked to exit the premises?
Yes. We just cut the cameras and I was sent on a walk.
Both were.
I think yes. He followed to save and understand the situation better. And yeah, they came back, and bizarrely, that scene in the cinema turns out to be one of the most emotional beats of the film. It's pretty relentless. It's Kevin. One of the problems that you'll find when you make a film is that on the day you might be capturing magic, but you might not know that it's magic until later because you're just stressed about we need to get this shot, we need to get that shot, all the different angles. Yeah. And just managing the schedule or just the amount of filming that needs to be done. And then you get into the edit and you watch it and you see it come to life and the editor does a wonderful job of bringing the scenes together and you're like, oh, this is actually working. And you just don't know until it's on that timeline. It's really tricky, but exciting.
The
cinema scene was a great scene.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I really do. Yeah.
Mm.
And if I'm correct,
when you have a film like... Oh,
no, sorry, I was just going to say, if I'm correct, Sasha, correct me if I'm wrong, you did this awesome hand on the arm in the cinema.
Yes. Yeah.
That was you naturally doing that. Is that correct?
Yes.
Love it. See, that's the kind of magic. See, I this is what I was saying to you. We put the camera up, they do the magic. There was no directing going on. Actors direct themselves. Mwah. Mm. Pause Marcus quick before he says something.
No, but I think like exactly that same thing from the actor side is so true because we'll do what we're going to do. Sometimes, you know, you might do multiple takes. Obviously, in this film, we didn't have the time to do 1,500 takes of like three each. But we don't know what is coming across to the camera. Or you know, like this is why, like, you know, some actors are really getting their own head of like, should I do it like this, or did I do it like this, or should I put this line like this? But then you know, you just put all your trust in the editor and the director and the cinematographers that like, they can do everything. Obviously, all of that was Heather in this one, and like just watching it all come out in the end. And
I didn't edit it, by the way. I didn't. We had a wonderful editor. I helped.
You were massaging, you were still there. And so yeah, watching it all come out, and you're like, these guys, they did something special. So props to them.
Props to all.
But let me ask you about that, right? Because there's times when you can watch a film and the cast is incredible, but it just doesn't resonate, right? And you're thinking, why isn't this hitting me? You know what I mean? Because I've seen all of these people in things before and they've been great. They've given emotional performances, but this one film is just not doing it. So I kind of feel right. It's the environment that is being created for everyone to do their thing. You know what I mean? So I think even in those moments when, you know, maybe not a lot of direction is happening, right? And it's left up to like you guys to perform. An environment has been created so you can do that thing. You feel comfortable enough to, you know what I mean, give these kind of performances. Would you say that's correct?
Kevin, before they answer that, what films have you seen where there's been a good cast, but the film's been shit? I'd love to know.
Oh, sorry.
This is dangerous.
How much time have we got? Like...
not only are you trying to this is my career, where he starts slating all these films.
You just have to go to his YouTube channel to see what and what not is being slated. Oh, God.
Oh, dear.
I love it, though. I love it. Like, I mostly agree with him.
Is crazy. all right. You know what? I'm going to lay it out, right?
There's oh, there we go. Still, okay.
I think it's Palindrome. 6 rounds.
I love this guy. Oh my god, that was a touche moment. Touche.
That was good.
That was really good.
That was good.
Don't forget that awful blonde purple as well.
Blonde purple, awful. Cinematography is awful.
Damn it! That just
who shot that film?
Jesus Christ.
Man, the lighting was all over the place. God. No one's going to listen to this podcast. It's just a bunch of clowns having a good time. I apologize, readers and listeners and viewers.
Yeah, but, sorry. Anyway, you guys can answer the question. I've been roasted. I've been thoroughly roasted like a turkey. So you guys can.
A turkey at Christmas.
Go for it.
You remind me what the question is?
The question was, were you given an environment that allowed you to explore?
Yeah. It was all of this Marcus bashing, which I laughed. So that took me away from everything else. I think definitely, I get what you mean. Sometimes the script is great and it just seems like there's something like missing from certain things. And I think just movie is, they call it magic, right? Because all these little bits have to come together. And so I think, the fact that me and Sasha just off screen, we have a lot of fun with each other. I think that definitely helped. Because there's a lot of ease there. And so with this much dialogue and very opinionated, discussions, I think if you don't feel that ease with the other person, that's not going to come across. If we don't feel the trust from the director, that's also not going to happen. If Marcus isn't feeding you constantly, then obviously it isn't going to happen. So I just think everything kind of came together in the way that we all just felt like a team, especially we were saying with some of the ways that we were going about some of the shots, where it was just like, we're just gonna go there and do it. It just felt like all of us were in it together. We're just trying to make something happen and have fun while we're doing it. So I think all of that kind of came across on screen, maybe.
Yeah.
100%.
One thing though about that, like you and Sasha have, you know each other, so there's that chemistry, which is great, and it definitely helps with the film. But also, what I'm curious about, because at the beginning, when Iz and Sarah first meet, like, there is that awkwardness, right? And there is that kind of bumping of heads and all of this kind of thing. So how easy is it to do that when you are friends, you know each other, you know what I mean, was it difficult to get that awkwardness part down, like where it doesn't feel forced, you know what I mean?
I think for me, I was very comfortable on set because obviously I know Carl for years, we've been friends for ages, and then Marcus and Hayden have this beautiful way of just allowing me to bring your own energy to set. They're not like stuck to their script or the exactly what they want, so you can kind of try out different things. And I feel like for the awkward part, I think I was just imagining how the character would feel in that moment if she has been stood up, she's been waiting around. So for me, it was quite easy to get into that headspace.
Akash,
how about you, Akash?
I was a little curious about this as well, but before we were going to film, whether we were going to seem too have too much chemistry from the start. I really enjoyed playing that. I think Sasha enjoyed ripping me a little bit, especially at the start with those little power plays. I think I've got one over on her a little one too many times, so I think she was like relishing this, to be like, all right, late again, okay, all that kind of stuff. but it was super fun, and I really loved the challenge of being able to, because off screen we're just so like, we just like so naturally like have that chemistry, to be able to kind of like drip feed it and to be like, okay, yeah, like at this point, because obviously we're not also not filming in sequence, so to be able to be like, okay, at this point they're probably about here in a sort of chemistry level, and then kind of doing that, I love that that challenge, and I think hopefully it came across as well.
It definitely does come across, and I think that's the interesting thing of it. And I think one big thing is, like, a lot of times you watch films and you've got two people meeting, and straight away they're great, and there's no missteps, there's no fumbling of things, it's just perfect conversations. And but this, it felt so natural, because the amount of times when you start talking to someone about something and then suddenly you'd be like, oh shit, that reminds me of, and you never finish that first thing, you know what I mean? Or like, you know, it's like you were late, right? And it's like, oh no, the train was delayed, but we never really get to what actually happens, and you feel there's moments when it's gonna come but it doesn't. And but that happens in life, and I think that would, I really loved that part of it, because it really helped the film feel so real, you know. Because I'd say, like, watching before, I
go ahead, sorry.
Oh no, go ahead.
I'd say a lot of that is a massive testament to Marcus's writing, because it, like, that also helped us as well. Because yeah, you have these like natural conversations, but as you can see, when the film goes on, they get deeper and they get a little bit more into everything.
Yeah.
Whereas the guy is more jilted. And that all comes from the man himself. So yeah, all props to him.
Thank you.
Mm. I mean, how is Marcus, like, you know, in all seriousness,
seriousness.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Now, you know, right, I think Blonde Purple was some tremendous writing. Like, that's up there with things like Inside Man, and just is so good. So good. How was it writing this? Because, as I said, you're having to write dialogue that doesn't always finish.
Mm.
Right? You have to write things that aren't going that natural route of say a conversation, you know what I mean? Like, so how difficult was that process of writing this kind of thing out?
Strangely enough, it was easier than writing Blonde Purple, because Blonde Purple is more structured. It's more, you know, you've seen it. It's like, there's flashbacks, there's more characters.
Yeah.
But if you look at Blonde Purple and it's kind of nebulous, it's very similar, because you have the girl in the bank and you have the bank robber, and literally all they're doing is talking to each other for the whole film. And you have the flashbacks that interrupt that. Yeah. So it's kind of the same thing. This was a lot easier because I wrote it in such a short burst. I only had those two characters talking to each other. And it's a bit like what Tarantino says, which is the characters will do the work for you. You know, you can start off the diet. You can say, okay, this is Sarah. This is Isham. This is how they think. One person thinks this way. One person thinks this way. Have a conversation. And that's what happens. And it just kind of, it's like you get into a flow state and then you just write the whole thing. But I was very conscious of the fact that I wanted conversations to start and then stop, because it happens all the time. Like you said, like, you're talking, if you have a good relationship with a friend, like, you may be talking about one thing and then forget you're talking about it and talk about something else and then come back to it later on. So I wanted this to be as naturalistic as possible. And I don't think that happens in Before Sunset and Before Sunrise. I can't remember. But it was definitely a feature that I wanted to make quite prevalent in this script. So to answer your question, it was actually kind of easy without sounding arrogant. It's more a case of just getting it done. Yeah. Two characters did all the work for me.
Right. Yeah, no, it doesn't happen in Before Sunrise, for sure.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Because that's the thing, because I love that film so much, right? But when you look at it, I think multiple times, you do see that the conversations aren't necessarily typical conversations.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You know Absolutely. What I mean? So,
yeah.
Yeah, so I think it is interesting. I think that was the big thing that kind of jumped out. Like, firstly, like, the conversation structure of this, and also the fact that they're not always together. Like, you kind of break it up a little bit, which I think is very interesting.
Yeah, I think that was something that I definitely wanted to do, because you see them with other people and how they behave with other people in comparison to how they behave with each other. And you get more stuff. Cause I think everyone most people typically act different around different people. So it's good to see a character's facets. I don't think Issam meets anyone else. No, he does. He meets his auntie. But yeah, I think it's always good to show how characters behave in different situations. I think Akash has mentioned this a few times, like when you watch a sitcom, you suddenly know how a character will behave in a certain situation. So it makes things even funnier, or you get more of a depth into how they think. So that was definitely done on purpose. Definitely done on purpose. And also the way the film begins, where we kind of have, and Hader shot this beautifully, we have these snapshots of how they actually arranged to meet in the first place. Typically in a film, an Asian film like this, you'd have the whole conversation around the dinner table. It would last for like 20 minutes. And he'd be like, I don't want to meet anyone. It'd be like a really dragged out process. And I was like, fuck that. Let's just get straight to the action. Let's get straight to the meat and potatoes. So yeah, it was definitely conscious decisions that we made there.
Can I also say as well? Yeah, the opening is great. One thing we haven't discussed before is that I love the energy difference between the two, because when Santa's talking to her friend, it's all like this, like, oh my God, yeah, oh wow. And there's music in behind, all that kind of stuff. And his is more just like, yeah, okay, Andy, yeah, cool, thanks. Okay, I'll do this, fine. But just that whole difference already gets you into the feel of things. And, you know, you don't need to then do the whole thing, like you're saying, Marcus.
Exactly.
And also going back to what you were saying with him writing the script and making conversations that kind of they will never come back. You did bring some back, where it's not really like there might be something that was said like an hour before and they kind of bring it back afterwards. And only the people who are really like paying attention to some of these conversations will know what's going on. And I like the fact that it's not like spoon fed to the audience.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I think all the conversations come back. I think they all come back. And I think the audience, that when we've seen it with the audiences, I think that's the thing they love Sasha and Akash and Hader's amazing work. But I think they do connect with the idea of these are like natural conversations, and they have mentioned that they have identified it feels like two people just talking on camera, and it feels like there's no script, which is a huge testament to
that's amazing
to actors. Yeah, yeah,
like a documentary going on a hell of a day. Love it. Told you there wasn't a direct.
Like, was the energy at the beginning because Sasha is what, like 23 and you're nearly 50? Okay. Like, you were bringing her a present and she says you're nearly 50. I would have taken that shit back.
Listen, man, when you've been in Asian families, you just got to take it, man. You just got to take that medicine.
Yeah. That got such a big laugh, honestly. It's so good. I love that scene with the auntie. It's just so good. Yeah. What was the question again? Sorry, what?
It wasn't. He just roasted a car. It was
just an astute observation.
That's it. Yeah. On age. Hey, bud. I thought you were going to look a bit younger in person.
Oh god.
We haven't done one of these road shows for quite a while, so I didn't know how this was going to pan out. We were on tour together, like a cheeky band, going up to Manchester, Bradford,
Paris, London
twice, Paris. Oh my
Paris.
Yeah.
We do not talk about Paris.
It was lovely scenery.
Beautiful. Oh my god, Paris is amazing.
I was the only. Well, not everyone seems to think Paris is amazing.
No.
Gary, exactly. Sarah doesn't think Eric.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I love the push and pull between them, like, honestly.
Mark's when, dramatic.
You know. Well. But when thinking about the shooting this film, because it's just two people, how was that shot structure kind of thought about? Because, you know, to keep it interesting, you know, because, yeah, we're just following two people have these conversations. So, like, you know, to create these different scenarios, these different looks, like, how conscious was it to be like, okay, we need to break it up, have them here, let's shoot it from this angle, let's do this?
Do you know, it was interesting, Kevin. I guess one of the key things that we did was try to make each scene either a unique space or a new place, just to keep the journey moving forwards in some capacity. And what had happened was, in the script, there was key locations that were very clear. We're going to be at Euston Station, or we're going to be an interior bar, or whatever in that sense. But then a lot of the exteriors, because we weren't 100% sure which locations we were going to be at, it would be, the scene would still be broken down into scene number, and then exterior could be walking on streets, or it could be a park or something. And then what we did was we sort of, in our own minds, broke it down where we went. So first few scenes, we've got this exterior or what, like meet in the we've got the house to establish both of them. Then we've got the Euston Station, and then we go for a walk, and we walk into a cafe. We sit in the cafe, have a chat, we leave. So we tried our best to change it up, to go from in to out, just to keep things progressing in some capacity and visually have it aesthetically pleasing for the audience as well. But one of the things you might notice is that when the characters are sat, the camera is also sitting. And when the characters are moving, the camera is moving most of the time. Try to consciously do that just from a visual language as well, and let them do the magic. Just keep a nice two shot and then singles. It was a very simple cinematography process, but I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I think it works for the film that we've made.
Were you wearing a rig for the walking thing?
Do you know, I look, in hindsight, I wish I was. I really do.
He knows you weren't wearing a rig. He knows you weren't wearing a rig.
Has he said some comments?
No, he just said the comment.
Cheeky. So yeah, look, let's not beat around the bush, but the only thing that's been slated in this film is the cinematography, all right? Camera's moving around too much, like it's on the Titanic sinking. I can't do anything about it, it's done. I didn't have a rig, all right? I'm sorry. We didn't have the budget, we just didn't. Part two, it'll be a lot more smooth. I promise.
Like I've said on some of the Q&As before as well, like sometimes in these shots, I'm watching Heather go backwards into London roads, right? I'm like, it's gonna fall, get run over, hit someone else. Like, there's so many things that can happen. So I'm like this was like Sarah, like saying all these things, but like my peripheral vision is like, bro, I hope you don't die. Please don't.
three to five minute takes of walking backwards. Like it's taxing. Yeah.
But that was a choice.
Sure.
He wanted, yeah, it was a choice. He wanted to do it like that, and that's how it looked.
You didn't get me an easy rig. Yeah, sure. Oh my god.
Yeah, there was a visual language choice by the cinematographer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So no, it does. Yeah. I think it does work though. Like, because the film has this.
Come on, Kevin. Just be honest. All right, Kevin. Don't beat around the bush. Just stop being polite. All right. I don't know what Marcus is paying you behind the scenes, but just say what you love, say what you don't. You know, that 2-star review is not going to get any higher.
Wait, you think you weren't 2 stars?
Oh my god, I'm in pain. Oh. Thank you.
Oh God.
No, wow. To be fair to Heather, like, yeah, obviously they say some of the comments in the Q&As were, it was a bit shaky and there was like a bit of light coming through and all that in some of them. But one of the other like things I most said was how beautiful the film was, and how some of these shots were just like perfectly executed. And so like that's got nothing to do with us. That was all Heather. And like I think one of the big things that really, really excels in the films is just how beautiful the whole thing looks and the way that you've done the scenery. So like so many like I was going to try to say something other than props because I said it about 15 times in this thing, but just Nadia, bro. Yeah,
and I personally feel like it feels like you're walking with the characters when the camera's a bit bumpy. I think it adds to it. I think it makes you feel you're involved. I like it.
Nice.
Bumpy.
I love it. You know, camera's a bit bumpy. Guy was walking on, glass.
So much shade. It's a bit bumpy.
Kevin, all I can say is you just wait for the model and then all these two stars are going to be...
Two and a half.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you literally could feel the bump.
Oh, God, this is so painful. Bumpy. Honestly, my next film is going to be on a tripod. I'm sorry, not a single handheld shot.
You're gonna hold the tripod this time,
just gonna hold the tripod.
Moving tripod. Oh God.
Oh man.
Okay. Hopefully, Kevin, can edit out any nonsense, right? Is that?
Well, or that's is the it, hour
how it works.
So we're going to start with "Hey guys, bye guys."
Oh God!
We've already put in that one. We might have got arrested.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
Racism.
Yeah, you insulted.
It started off
with
that.
The friend.
Yeah, absolutely.
Marcus side roasted Kevin. Kevin side roasted Marcus.
Very tough. You got roasted.
Yeah, I got roasted.
You got roasted. You got astray.
Yeah. Sash is the only one that's media trained.
No, she roasted you. She said bumpy. Bumpy. No one's called cinematography bumpy yet.
Bumpy. Oh, I love that. I love that. I love natural, that. Like before Nicker. Cinematography bumpy.
Oh my God.
Hey, the bumpy Zaffer. I like that. Good name.
No, I'm not.
You're bomb. How's it going, bro?
Oh my God, this is so painful. I don't know what to say. I hope Roger Deakins doesn't listen to this podcast. Oh God.
Bumpy.
So Kevin, how's it going? Are you in London? Are you keeping well? Any good films on the horizon?
Flesh.
Oh man. there's like F1 coming, right? But Fantastic Four, there's things coming. But I will say the first film, like, there's been a lot of big films, right, that have been talked about. I think the two films that really, I think, up the bar for me this year were The Return with Juliette Binoche and Ralph Fiennes, and Sinners.
Sinners, yeah.
Those were the first two films that made me go, shit, this is good.
Yeah,
like we've had some decent films, you know, some okay films, but out of the big films, you know what I mean? And I don't even think Sinners was meant to be that big, or The Return, really. But those two were tremendous.
Yeah, last year was awful.
Okay. I thought Thunderbolts was interesting.
That was. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed them.
Yeah, I thought Thunderbolts and Captain America were interesting because I thought they were different to the other Marvel films. Like, I thought Captain America was more of a political drama, political thriller. And Thunderbolts, it looked at, like, the human condition. You know what I mean? We're taking, like, that imposter syndrome, like, the loss that all of these people have had and not going, we can brush over it. Like, we're sitting in it for this, like, 2 hours. So I thought those were interesting. But, yeah, I don't really know, man. I don't know. It's hard. I'm hoping Ballerina's going to be good, but don't know.
Probably not.
We'll have to wait and see.
Probably not. Sinners was good, though. Sinners was good.
Oh, tremendous.
Mm. Yeah.
So the model is next?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we just finished shooting the model, which stars Akash and Sasha.
Say it the other way around. Stars Sasha
with a cameo by this guy. Oh, stars them too. This guy.
Hey, did you have lines? Yes, you're starring.
Not only do I have lines, I think I have a song in there actually.
Yeah, you do. You did. It's gone. But yeah, we got the model. Wait, which stars
did you have? Did you have him leave another voicemail? Because bye was like probably the line of the film.
That's so good.
Do you know what? That scene is awesome.
So good.
And it's written like that by words, but the performance of both the actors, especially Akash in that moment, because it didn't say to do that voice or to do, like, he just took it to another level. And then Sasha's reactions as well were just out of this. Yeah. Great scene. Love that scene.
Probably my favorite.
So before Nicole has been at the BAFTAs this year, we went to Paris with it last year. We are nominated for best independent film at the National Film Awards.
Sounds good.
Yeah, and then White Guilt, a film that we made after also before Nicar.
Oh wow!
Yeah, is that Rain Dance next month? So it's going good. It's been a good year. It's been a very good year. So all the hard work we put in over the past 10, 15 years is starting to pay off. Paying off now, and it feels good.
Have you seen White Guilt, Kevin, or will you try and come and watch it at Raindance?
Haven't seen it yet.
It'd be great.
Yeah.
If you come join us, it'd be great. Yeah.
I think you'll like it.
It's a great film. Yeah.
I think you'll like it. Sasha's seen it. She loves it.
Yeah, all the other things.
Oh, I'd love an invite too much.
All the other things have been great.
So. Akash, please come and join us at Raindance next month.
Yeah. Sure, I don't want the PE invite now.
Oh gosh, we haven't invited anybody. We're not very good on social.
Sasha made it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No. She's seen a little screener. She saw a screener. She's but yeah. Next month, come on down.
New cinema. Oh my gosh!
Like, how is like this aspect of, you know, the process for you guys, all of you? Because, you know, you spend all this time making something. You know what I mean? Like, you really hone your skills to put out great performances, great scripts, direction, cinema, all of those things. And then, you know, it's whether it gets nominated for an award, whether it gets picked up for a ceremony, whether you get that acknowledgement for performances, for the work that you've done. Like, how does that kind of weigh on you for what you want to do next, for furthering, you know, I mean, the goal of making more films, telling more stories?
That's a great question.
That's a really good question. It's a really
great question. Is that Akash? No, go for it, Akash.
No, I was trying to send it to Sash. I was like, she's been too quiet for too long. No, for me personally, I think it is a really difficult thing, because even this, we shot this in December 22, right? So the fact that things are only kind of happening now, it's like, it's crazy. Because you do something and then you're like, I'm not going to see this for ages. And like, even if I've done a great job, other people won't see it for even longer. You're like, how can I like get somebody to be like, hey, listen, I've done something good. Don't hire me in 3 to 5 years. Because obviously I already look 50.
Boomer.
So yeah, he is like, not a boomer. Yeah, but yeah. it is really difficult. I think like if you do hold on to that, you're just going to be in a really difficult place mentally. I think you're going to have far too much pressure on yourself. So it is a thing. Like, now I feel like I've gone kind of the other way, where if people ask me what I've done, I genuinely have, like, I've completely forgotten. They're like, oh yeah, what have you done recently? I'm like, I did a film, yeah, at some point, like last year, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe. And then like, I'll have friends who'd be like, you realize you just got off a project doing this. And I'm like, oh yeah, true. So like, that's personally the way that I deal with it, that I'm just like, I'm always just looking forward to the next thing. And if and when things come out, people will like either like it or not. But I'll just keep trying to do my best every single time, and just try and work as much as possible. Even if you're not on a film, you can always be practicing something. That's the way I get through it personally. But...
yeah. I think at this level of filmmaking that myself and Haider are at, I think award shows, festivals, unfortunately, are the biggest validation we can have. Because, you know, if we were to make a big budget film and make $600 million gross, that would be a great measure of the success. But because we're not at that level,
yeah,
we have to look at the awards and look at the reviews, and, you know, and it helps us to know that we're doing the right thing. Because if we were getting bad reviews and we weren't going to festivals, then we're kind of like wasting our time here. But the fact that we've slowly, over the years, start to get more recognition and go into places like BAFTA and Paris and stuff like that, suggests that we're moving in the right direction, which then gives us the confidence to go and make something else. And when we make something else, be even more confident in the way we approach it, because we know we're doing the right things. If we were working with big budgets, we would use a different measure stick in that sense.
Okay, that makes sense.
I'd say also, I mean, like, audiences in the Q&As were also their own level of validation. But true. Good true. And bad. They gave us criticism as well. It wasn't all true. Just, you know, oh, everything was amazing. So that was also lovely, because we were, with some of these people, they were really candid with what they wanted to say. It was great, because it felt like, okay, they felt comfortable enough with us to say what they wanted to say. And, you know, whether we agree or disagree with what they say, it's great to get that feedback. To be like, and especially because we've been Bradford, Manchester, Birmingham, Paris, London a few times. So if you've got certain themes coming up, like in all these different places, then you're like, oh, okay, cool. Actually, we get that. We get this kind of theme going across, something to take in. Whereas like sometimes if there's a critic, for example, who's writing a review, you maybe take it with a pinch of salt, because, you know, they have a very different way of watching and consuming a film versus the average person. And I think one of the things that I found personally in the Q&As is that generally the average people, the regular audience, they loved us. They loved everything about it. And even though they might have said, I would have liked if this happened, generally they connected with all of us.
Yeah.
So I think that was validation for all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kevin, go.
No, what I was going to say, similar to what Akash said, as we had screenings in many different locations, different places
all had like different responses to the film. So jokes would land in different ways. Some audiences would find certain things funny. Some things would land well in different crowds. And I think because of that, you start to watch the film with a different perspective every single time. You notice something new. So I really enjoyed watching the screenings in different places because you just see it in a new, like fresh pair of eyes each time. So it was really inspiring to see that.
I was just going to add that that was one of the most exciting things, to screen the film at a multitude of cinemas with an audience and attaining their questions and finding out what they're thinking, and the fact that they were enjoying what we had done. And even if certain things might be rough around the edges or whatever, the enjoyment came from seeing something fresh, something new. And it does allow us to think about how we move forwards next. Well, I was just going to add, Kevin, that regardless of any kind of validation from awards or recognition, etc., and I think Marcus and I would probably agree on this, that come rain or shine, we hope to make films. So even if tomorrow somebody does or doesn't give us finance to make something, even if it's a tiny film that we just go out on the weekends again and make, we'll just keep going for it, because that's what we've been doing since, God knows, like 2006 or something. Just want to make stuff, tell stories. And hopefully at one point there will be audiences building and we'll keep moving forwards. But I think the enjoyment is in the doing, even though it can be frustrating at times.
Yeah. But I think when you keep on coming with great stories, ain't that's noticeable. You know what I mean? It's just like when James Samuels did Harder They Fall, right? And then Book of, you're thinking, will the next one be any good? And Book of Clarence killed it, right? You're like, oh, awesome. I want to see the next thing. So it's just like when you watch, you know, any of your films, like you're like, what's next? I want to see the next one. You know what I mean? Because they're just good. Like I say, your cinematography on From Purple was great, was fantastic. So congrats on that. And it's just good because this, like, it's what, been 10 years since, wait, when did you directed you, when did you,
we made the conversation. We made the conversations in 2013, or it was released in 2013. 13. That was our first film. Yeah. So it's been 12 years.
Yeah.
And before that, we made short films as well. So it's been long. It's been longer than that. Mm. Yeah.
This is what I was saying, that we've just been plowing and just doing and making. And I think you can look at the past and the back catalogue or whatever you want to say. And there is a progress in our filmmaking. And going on to say that even, you know, what you mentioned is like there's progress, but then at some point, even if you do have a miss in whatever way in terms of a film idea, I don't think that that should set us back, or we shouldn't look at it as a failure. We should look at it as an idea that we tried, and we just got to keep going and keep doing, I think.
Yeah. And whose assessment is it a miss?
Sure.
Is there's films that I don't like that other people love.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't like Devil Wears Prada, but I know someone does. You know what I mean? So it's just like, you know what I mean?
We don't have to name names. Like... He's done it, Marcus. He's done it.
He did it. He went big as well. He went big. He went from Mel Street. With promotion, but Anne Hathaway.
I mean, off the record, I enjoyed Devil's Wears Prada, like whatever. Like,
loser.
Yeah, thank you, but you know, I also enjoyed watching Mission Impossible, but that's another story.
Ah, loser.
He's just opening himself up to work with Tom Cruise and
exactly.
As you fool.
Tom's had his final reckoning. It's done. It's done.
I did think the final reckoning was better than Dead Reckoning.
Ooh. Oh, that's interesting. You're one of few.
I prefer Dead.
Because I thought it had a better flow to it than Dead Reckoning. Because Dead Reckoning, it felt like there's a lot of setup. And then you're doing things that you're just like, that makes no sense. You know what I mean?
I think I prefer the action in Dead Reckoning, but you're right. Like the most recent one has a bit more flow. Just that I didn't like set pieces. Yeah.
You can. Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, no. Even like
art is subjective.
You know. Yeah, everything's subjective, but it's just like I don't think there's anyone that's got like a perfect run. Per se, that you can go,
Denis Villeneuve.
You know what I mean? There's always going to be like, I love most of them. There was just one that I didn't really resonate with. Mm-hmm. But you know what I mean? So I think it's just when you're telling stories, they're not all going to hit the same person the same way. But you can definitely always see the strengths of them, the things that were done well, even if, you know, you don't like it, you can go, oh, but the direction was good. The script was good. I really like the acting from that one person or this thing, boom, boom, boom. So there's always something you can take away from it. But I just think it's just, you can see the consistency in the stuff that you guys do. So thank you. Just like that's going to take you to that next thing, man, for sure.
Thank you. I think the difference is, again, like, unfortunately, at this level, the margin of error is a bit vast, because if you're self-financing your film, you can't just keep making films and hoping that you're going to pay off one day, because you'll run out of money and be broke.
Yeah.
So you have to be that's why you have to be very kind of, you have to feel like it's progression, like you're investing into something that's going to lead somewhere. Otherwise, you are just spunking money up the wall and you might as well just go to the bookie shop and put a bet on, honestly. Because you're going to win in the bookie shop one day. You know what I mean?
As Akash says, or sorry, as Issam says, he'd spend a milli on a movie and waste it, basically.
Yeah, literally. Literally, yeah.
You could just do so much more, give it to charity or something, you know.
No thanks.
Yeah. Honestly. Yeah.
Buy a ring.
It's a tough business.
You know what I mean?
We can only but try.
This point of like, if you just love every single thing that this one director does, and they've basically done the same film like 500 times, like, are you pushing yourself enough creatively? Because like if you look at Marcus's films, like they've been such wide genres as well. So like, it's great because you're always trying something different, and like that's how you push the boat. That's how you get to the next place. Whereas if you're just stuck in the same thing, doing the same like gangster movie again and again and again. Like, look, it's good, but it's just like, give us something else, man.
Yeah, Martin Scorsese.
I didn't at him. All right, I didn't at him. So maybe someone other than De Niro needs a role. All right, maybe you need an Indian in here. Okay,
maybe
Indian De Niro. Maybe not. Oh my god.
Oh, we don't want to do these 3-hour movies all the time, all right? Irish Mission and the Indian Man. Damn, son.
The Indian Man. Sounds like a great film. Oh, my God. I'd love to do a spoof. That would be so much fun. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Kevin, you've definitely got a feel of voice there. On road trips with us, man.
Yeah, Kevin, I hope you are getting what you set out to achieve with this call, because we just don't know what to do.
Not at all. The editing on this is going to be amazing. It's just like, Jesus Christ.
If you want to do a quick fire round,
I think that's what this is going to be.
Oh, God.
Oh, gosh.
The one soundbite is going to be unknown actor starts going to Martin Scorsese in racist rant about Irish.
That's the YouTube title right there.
YouTube title.
The algorithm's going to pick it right up. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Sasha, say something fun. Anything.
I got nothing. I can't save this at this point.
Now we know why she stays quiet.
Oh, man.
I love it. Media Jeez. Train to the T.
Bumpy. Bumpy.
So that bumpy. Was a compliment.
It's a compliment in the way that someone says someone's fat. And they're like, no, no.
You yeah, exactly.
It's a great thing.
Oh god.
Describe Hayden Zaffer's cinematography. Bumpy. My career is over before it even started.
It is.
Honestly. Please hire me again.
But they might employ you to do the Winter Olympics, but you've got that one where they're going over all those little bumps, right? You'd be I love perfect this. For that shit.
It's over.
This was all you. This was all you.
It's over. It's over. It's officially over. I am not getting that BFC award. God. Oh, gosh.
Oh, shit.
Check, please.
Oh, dear.
Go on, Kevin. Let's do a quick fire round. Give you something good for this podcast. Otherwise, people are tuning out in like minute five.
Okay. So, the award ceremony, is that the 11th of June?
Oh,
the independent.
No, it's July. It's July.
July, I believe it takes.
Oh, is that in July?
Thanks a lot.
Oh, the vote ends on the 11th. I think.
I think it's the 19th. Oh, sorry, 19th of June. 19th of June, yeah. I believe. Yeah.
Guys, man, give me a hard time out here.
Yeah.
What are you worried about?
The trip for the 11th of June. And I was like, what?
No.
Yeah.
You can keep voting at 11th of June, 12th of June, 13th. You keep voting, son.
Nice. Kevin, you better vote.
Please. We need all the votes we can get.
Those are two different ways. I was like, you better vote. Please. Yeah.
Thank you, Kevin. Please.
He's not voting.
I need to look at the category. See you.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I want you to be honest. Exactly that. Be honest.
Oh god! But if you're watching or listening, please do vote. We'll put a description. We'll put it in the description, maybe, if Kevin lets us.
Oh, that'd be nice. If that's possible,
the link
to the voting
in the description
on
the website.
On the YouTube.
On their website.
Oh man. Hopefully we could do this again for the model.
Yes, 100%. Definitely.
Can't wait for you to see that one.
It's very different to this one.
It's so different to anything.
Yeah, we got a rig for that one.
We had a rig at times. Yeah,
which was helpful. At times.
When the budget allowed. Oh God. One day we'll be given lights as well. One day.
Marcus is a lot.
How can people
keep track
of everything you were doing?
Akash, you want to go first?
I don't think even my parents know everything I'm doing, man. But yeah, socials, Akash_7, AKASH_7 on Instagram.
Fucking Jeffrey Dahmer over there.
Whoa. Listen.
Whoa.
This guy, and not in the direction you think he's going to take it in as well. Whatever direction you think it is, he'll take it in the other.
Dark and mysterious. I love that. Not even my parents know what I mean.
I don't think you're allowed to call me dark, to be honest.
Sorry.
Let me hold off on that one, all right?
Sorry.
But yeah, probably Instagram's probably the best place. I'm always doing something random. So yeah, join in on the fun.
Awesome.
Sasha?
Yeah, I would say the same. Instagram's best place to keep track.
What's your Instagram?
Sasha Vada.
Akash_7. Okay.
Everyone's Instagram is Akash_7. @ig.com. Oh god.
Heda, how do they find you?
You can just search for Heda Zafar, spelt HAIDERZAFAR, and you will find me on the Insta as well. So see you there.
You can follow London New Wave on Instagram, and you'll see all the updates from all of these people and from myself.
So he's like, I don't want you to follow me personally.
No.
I've got no interest in you me at all. Just the work. Thank you very much.
Keep it profesh. Strictly business over here. Yeah, if you want to follow Marcus, you can find out about Liverpool and how crap they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's Liverpool. Liverpool. That's all you'll see.
Worst thing to clicking on.
Oh man, this has been a lot of fun, guys. This has been so much fun.
I hope
fun.
So hope you're not just saying
insecure.
I hope you're being honest.
I know you said you love me, but
you're not
you love me. Like on a scale of 1 to 10, like how much would you say?
Yeah. If you were going to give it like a out of 5 stars, what are we looking at? A 2 or a 5?
What's the lowest star?
I've seen 0.5, I think. I think I have seen 0.5. Honestly, that star was like half coloured in. It was so badly slated. Honestly, just half a star. I don't know what film it was, but oh my lord.
Oh my god, I thought you said it was for us. I thought you said it was for film. I was like, Jesus.
No. Not yet.
Not yet.
Maybe yet. After
maybe after Kevin votes.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my god. Yeah, because Kevin's gonna put a review up, I think, and yeah, let's see where that lands.
We'll see.
No, but thank you for doing this. Appreciate it.
Yes, thank you, Kevin.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'll see you at Rain Dance, hopefully. Yeah.
No doubt, man. No,
me and you will link together then on that one. I'm just bumming off your invite anyway, so.
See you there as well, Akash.
When you put this out on Instagram, can you put like it's gonna be a bumpy ride?
Do you know what? White girl's a bit bumpy as well, to be fair. God's sake. Oh my god. Oh my, and the model, God, it doesn't get bumpier than that. Jeez. All those shots on the rocks, just so bumpy.
Let's start a GoFundMe and get you a rig. I mean, that's the only thing.
That'd be amazing. That would be so nice. Someone give this guy an easy rig. Just get it off the shoulder, please.
For 2 miles a day, Nedo Sanga is walking with his camera.
I wish we could just put a picture of an easy rig up and then only $999.
$999. Oh my god.
I love it.
Oh man. Well, guys. Again, this has been tremendous. I honestly did enjoy the film. I honestly did enjoy the film. So, like, it's great seeing. First, it's great seeing great stories, but then it's also great just seeing from different character perspectives. Because for ages, it's just been the same archetypes we've had on screen. So,
yes,
when you get something like this. You know, it kind of reminded me of like Rye Lane, that it was just like, finally, we've got a film with different people on our screen and it's great. So, yeah, it was fantastic. So, well done, guys. And
thank you, Kevin.
Really cannot wait to see what you all do next.
Thanks so much.
So, people, go follow Marcus, Hadir, Akash, and Sasha. Is, yeah, we're going to be seeing a whole lot more of these guys coming up soon. So, yeah, make sure you do that. And go watch and vote for Before
Nika.
Hey, you got it. You did it. You made
so
it.
So difficult pronouncing all these different words.
It is tricky. It is.
Non-British words.
It's nearly as difficult as marriage, but you know.
What is it called?
Marriage. Marriage. Before Nika. Nika. What is it?
Nika.
Nika. Oh, Lord. It's all good. We're all.
I said it with so much confidence.
We're all guilty. Well, you got the before bit right. You got that right. And that's important.
I'm not even sure I did that. I think I fucked that bit too. No.
Watch Bifa. Before. Oh, Lord. Before. That's the. Oh, gosh. Right. Kevin, you should exit before this turns into more chaos.
Yeah,
smart decision.
Yeah. but yeah, no, it's been great. Thank you, guys, and no, people, go watch the film and vote.
Appreciate it.
Oh, you did a little. Right. You did this one, really? All right.
Okay, people, that was tremendous, right? I hope you enjoyed that, because that was so much fun. Man, as I laughed so hard. Oh my gosh, my face is aching right now. Yeah, go watch Before Nakai. It is really great. It really is great. And I've said it so many times, right, with these things. It is a huge example why it's so important to have different voices tell stories, right, to open it up, because we get gems like this. Man, it's fantastic, right? So all the links are on the website, so make sure you go and check out the film. Go follow Marcus, Hadir, Akash, and Sasha. And people, right? So the National Film Award takes place on the 2nd of July, right, at the Procaster Hall in London, and public voting opened up on the 19th of May, and it runs until the 19th of June. So mark that down, right? Make sure you know, you do not miss the day. We'll put a link on the website as well so you can go vote. But yeah, people, go watch the film, go support the talent, and we will see you next time for another Echo Chamber. Peace.